Amen. Good evening. I just wanted to start off by saying that I'm a forgiving man. But I have to be honest. I was fighting some feelings of attraction for the person that was doing the announcements this evening. And then I realized it was my wife, and I was okay, but I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't see very. Serena did a good job, didn't she? Yeah. She did great. She did great. What I love about our church is that we really do live out this idea of family. And if you've been coming here for any time at all, you know that whenever we say things like, welcome home, we mean that. We truly believe that church is a family you belong to, not an event that you go to. And I believe that people might come for the world-class preaching and teaching that we have to offer in this house. But I believe that they'll stay because of the people. And that's what we're going to be, is a family. And as long as I have any say on what goes on in Durant, that's what we're going to be as a family. And that's what we're going to walk out together. So give it up, yep, for the Lord and what he's doing in our lives. And I count it a profound honor and privilege, and I don't take it lightly, to be able to stand up here in the place where so many great men and women have stood and be able to share the word of God with you. I approach that very reverently and humbly, and it's not a right, it's a privilege. And when there's a week that I feel like I'm not the one carrying the message, I move out of the way and let somebody that is. But I do feel that the Lord has started this conversation with me around supernatural living. And last week we kind of had a little bit of a Holy Ghost runaway. And those are my favorite kinds of services because I don't have anything to do with them. It's just the Lord moving and shaking in us. But I do feel like he's wanting us to focus in a little bit. And we've got to have times like we had last week where we get shook up and God interrupts our normal, and that's great. But how many of you know that there's power in process? And I run into a lot of people, and I'm a card-carrying charismatic, in case you were wondering. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in supernatural healing. I believe that some of you, the best possible thing for you to happen, like I said last week, is you just need to get knocked out by the Holy Ghost and fall out and go into the third heaven and have this awesome encounter with Jesus and come back and be a totally different person, so I don't have to do any counseling with you. That'd be awesome. But the thing that I think that a lot of times we get out of balance in, and I've been combating this spirit at work, not in this church. You know we have no problems here, right? And so, but if you're a guest, I'm kidding. I have a very dry sense of humor, but I'm kidding. Everybody's got, or a family, and every family's got messes. But the great thing about family is that we commit to each other in spite of our messes, and we walk those things out, and we believe that's what family's about. So, but I've been combating this spirit at work in the church that wants to take. Let me back up and tell you this. A wise man told it to me this way: that in our Christian walk. Excuse me, puberty was happening again. We have this Christian walk, and I'm older than I should. I feel like at the age I'm at now, I should no longer get like pimples on my forehead, and they still come sometimes, and then my voice cracks like it just did, and it just makes me feel really bad. So you can just pray for me right now to get over it. But the other thing that I want to be able to tell you is what this wise man told me, and that is that in our Christian life is very much akin to or similar to this river with two banks. And one bank is sound doctrine. How many of you are so thankful for sound doctrine, good theology, the written word of God, understanding truth, rightly dividing the word of truth, order, systems, processes. And the other side of this bank is what we could call the supernatural. what we could call is the movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and blind eyes being opened. A lot of the things that Serena read in that declaration tonight, it's the charisma of God. It's the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the baptism. It's the speaking with other tongues and signs and wonders being done in our midst and people growing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are thankful for that bank as well? And what this wise man told me was is that our depth of our Christian experience is going to be controlled by the lowest bank, not the highest one. All right, so I'll tell you that one more time. The depth of our Christian life is going to be controlled by the lowest bank, not the highest one. So what we have to endeavor to do, and what I think that we do very well as a church, is endeavoring to build on both of these banks. That's why we have to have times like we had last week to build on one of the banks. And that's why we have to have experiences like we're going to have tonight to build on another side of the bank. Because what I can tell you is that even if you've got a lot of this spiritual activity, a really high bank, but you've got a very low connection with sound doctrine, good teaching, good theology, you might think that you're really deep, but you're actually really shallow. And if you're on the other end and you've got all the bread, right? So this is kind of how you can divide it. The scripture uses different themes about bread and wine, right? And how many of you know, and if wine makes you nervous, then just say grape juice for the analogy, okay? But the scripture says wine, okay? So I don't want to make anybody nervous. Just say, well, it's just grape juice if that's you. Because we know that, oh, I'm not going to make that joke. Zach, don't make that joke. Okay, so anyway, what I want to tell you is that there's the bread and there's the wine. How many of you know that this is the bread? How many of you know the thing that's been breathed into your heart that's not giving you the ability to pray in other tongues, giving you the ability to move in the things of Holy Spirit? How many of you know that's the wine? Yes. That's the wine of God. And the Old Testament paints pictures of the Holy Spirit being the wine. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came, that the people that saw the disciples speaking in other tongues said, they must be filled with new wine. They were acting drunk. That's why they thought they were drunk. They weren't acting sober. You guys understand that, right? They were doing things that normal didn't compute to. God shook up normal, and the carnal mind said, that's drunkenness. But God said, that's becoming heavenly minded, so now you can actually do earthly good. I've heard people say, that person's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Jesus said that we needed to pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in. So unless I get heaven's mind, how am I going to be the fulfillment of that prayer? I've got to become heavenly minded so that I can actually be earthly good and I can do earthly good in the world. So my stance over these next few sessions is to hopefully encourage us to be building daily on both banks. And I know people that get really, really busy in building on the charismatic side of this bank. And they come to me and they say things like, you know, well, I feel like we're quenching the Holy Spirit in our services because we have a set list. And a set list means we know what songs we're going to sing. I have people that come to me and say, I feel like we're grieving the Holy Spirit because, you know, the pastor preaches with an outline or whatever it might be. And I look at these people, and I don't say what I really want to say. I look at these people, and I just am able to identify this in Christian love, that they've only been proactively building on one bank. And it's not my fault that they're shallow, but it is my fault if I don't invite them into a corrective conversation. It is my fault if I don't invite them into a place of understanding and discovering, look, what we really need to be about doing is building both of these banks simultaneously. There's something that happens, and I've seen it in the church world a lot, is that when particular things aren't happening in a service, and whenever things aren't, whenever the songs aren't the songs that everybody likes, and whenever different things are going on, people have this confusion that whether the Spirit is grieved is the same thing as them having a personal preference. And I'm really confused by that. The Spirit might be grieved. You might just not be experiencing church like you like it to be all the time. But how many of you know that the whole problem with that thinking is thinking that church is about an individual experience? Church has never been about an individual experience. Since the birth of the church in Acts, it was about a corporate response to what God was doing. Do people have individual experiences in church? Yes, but the individual experience points to living in Christian community. Make no mistake about it. The enemy has a vested interest in getting people to isolate from community. God will never be the one to tell you to isolate from community, ever. Especially if it's life-giving community. Now, the Spirit of God can cause a check to come into your heart. And from your spirit, you can get a warning if there are certain people that you shouldn't connect to. Can I get an amen there? But God is never going to take you from life-giving community. If you think about the way that the enemy operates, Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we need to be understanding of our adversary, the devil, because he prowls about as of a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you've ever watched Discovery Channel or if you've seen it in person, but a lion is a predator that stalks its prey. A lion is very patient. A lion doesn't just jump off into the middle of a herd of wildebeest and try to take one down. A lion gets in the tall grass and it gets down low and it watches. And if you watch on Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or whatever, or any kind of National Geographic, whatever, and you see the antelope, the wildebeest, the water buffalo that the lion always goes after, it's the one that has started to stray from the herd. And it's the one that's a little bit smaller than the others. So the lion will purposely look for ones that are a little bit sickly, not as big, easier to take down. I've got news for you. Whenever we come together in a place of unity, when we come into a place of family, and we learn that blind eyes being open in our midst is supernatural, but it's also supernatural to be able to live out life with each other over 30 years without fussing and fighting. That's as equally supernatural. But see, people get all hung up on the sign and the wonder, and their interpretation of what they think that is, that they forget that signs and wonders aren't even specifically these events that happen in our midst. It's actually a type of life that God's creating in you so that you as a person become a sign and a wonder to a crooked and perverse generation. There's a lot of things that Jesus could have said, church, in regards to how people would know that he was our disciples. He could have said, you'll speak with other tongues, and that's how people will know that you're my disciple. And I got people that come and tell me all the time that unless you speak with other tongues, you're not a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That's not biblical. I know you have a strong opinion, but that's not biblical. You haven't been reading the Bible. Somebody told you that and you liked it. It was a personal preference, so you hung on to it and you believed that, but it's not the Bible. That's okay. Do I want everybody to speak in tongues? Absolutely. Yeah, I'll be like Paul. I speak in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said in the scripture. He told the Corinthians, I would that everybody would speak in tongues. He said, honestly, I speak in tongues more than all of you do. But here's the thing about it. That's not the surest way to know that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys okay? You didn't expect me to talk like this, did you? You thought that guy, there's no way. He's all about wildfire and radical. No, I'm about truth. I'm about the supernatural done in the excellence of God, not a cheap counterfeit. That's what I'm about. And the thing about it is this, and understanding that, yes, okay, tongues, great. He didn't say that everybody would know that you're my disciple because you lay hands on the sick and see him recover. How many of you know that it's good that we figure out how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? But that's not the primary way that the world knows that you're his disciple. A lot of things Jesus could have said, but he chose to say, and they will know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have one for another. See, in the world divides by us versus them, don't they? The world divides Republican, Democrat, don't they? I just came right out of the gate with that one because I'm feeling brave tonight. The world divides rich, poor, don't they? Okay. Here's the thing about it. We heard this past weekend that in Christ, because of the cross, there's now this level playing field that's been set before us. Rich or poor still have access to the inheritance of the saints, male or female. And there are biological differences to male and female, right? But in Christ, that doesn't matter in proportion to you being able to have access to the inheritance of the saints. You want to know a really awesome thing is that in the pre-Pentecost anytime that there was a counting of a group of people, like when you read about Jesus feeding the 5,000, they count them all by the men that were present. It's not until after the day of Pentecost that women started showing up in the counts. Okay, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that because of the ascension of Jesus, because of his resurrection, because of the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, because of the finished work of Christ, there's now been an even playing field so that everybody can have access to the inheritance of the saints in light. Men and women. All right? That's what the finished work of Christ has done. And I think that what we have to learn, if we're really going to move into a place of supernatural living, is we have to learn how to be able to live with each other. I was talking to somebody one day. It was actually Jaren. Jaren and I were having a conversation. And she said this, and it stuck out to me. I'll never forget it. She said, well, we better learn how to get along because we're going to be stuck with each other for forever. You know that the people in this room, if they've made Jesus Lord of the life, that we're going to live with each other in eternity, right? So I say that we might as well learn how to practice now for the way it's going to be for forever. Because Jesus isn't going to put up with fussing and fighting as lenient as he is right now. There comes a day when all that's going to be put to rest. And it's going to be for a company of people that have figured out how to bear one another's burdens. It's going to be for a company of people that have figured out how to weep whenever you weep and rejoice whenever you rejoice. I got news for you. There'll be some people in heaven that never spoke in tongues on this earth. You show me in the Bible where it says tongues is the qualification to go to heaven. I'll tell you what the qualification is. The book of Acts says this is the qualification, that there's only one name. See it right out of the gate. Doesn't say one manifestation. Doesn't say one fruit. It says there's only one name under heaven by which men have the ability to be saved, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. And Romans says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Period. That's the qualification for salvation. How deep you want to go in the Christian experience is up to you. Does God have tongue talking for you? Absolutely. Does God have the ability for you to be able to move in signs and wonders and lay hands on the sick and see him recovered? Absolutely. But that's not the qualification for salvation. Church, that's the fruit of salvation in your life. That's the extension of, that's the icing on the cake. Is everybody okay? It's really simple. It's Bible. But here's the thing about it is that in the church world today, we're taking all these stands on things that really don't matter. How many of you know that marriage between man and a woman is something that matters? We can take a stand on that. How many of you know that whether or not somebody believes in supernatural healing is really just them that's missing out? It's not keeping them out of heaven. It's keeping them out of being able to experience heaven on earth, but it's not keeping them out of heaven. We've got denominational groups that are entrenched and no longer seeking understanding because of disagreements that are commentary. Listen, I love how N.T. Wright, one of the leading theologians of our time, says that if Jesus died and raised himself and God raised him from the dead, everything else is rock and roll. I love that. That's the thing about it. My question is, how are we going to move into a place of learning how to unite with our brother and sister instead of picking our brother and sister apart? See, supernatural living, if you really want to get down to what supernatural living is about, the test of supernatural living isn't whether or not truly, the true test isn't whether or not you'll be able to speak in tongues. The true test, honestly, of supernatural living won't be if you ever operate or receive supernatural healing in your body. The true test of supernatural living will be if you learn how to love one another the way Christ loved you. That'll be the truest test of supernatural living. I've got news for us tonight that a more sure sign that you're a disciple of Jesus are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, I prophesied your name, I cast out devils. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. It's impossible to not know the Lord and not bear fruit. That word know is the same know that is in Genesis whenever it says that Adam knew his wife and she conceived a son. It's an intimacy. The byproduct of intimacy is always fruit. You can't know God and not be fruitful, but you can figure out how to hijack the name of Jesus and get results. Okay, I don't know if you believe that or not. There's an example I could use, but I think I'll wait for next time. So I want us to understand that when we talk about supernatural living, I'm talking about a particular type of life, not just particular things that we have the ability to do. I'm talking about a particular kind of life. Do you know that you could argue with me about the speaking in tongues thing, the supernatural healing thing, but you know, nobody would be able to argue with me if I told you that one of the most supernatural things that you'll ever be able to do is to love your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus never mentioned speaking in tongues. He never mentioned laying hands on, I'll put it to you this way. He modeled laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. But in the Sermon on the Mount, in his opening address, I always call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, as Jesus' inaugural address as King of the Universe. That's what the government of God is like. You want to know what the government of God is like? Read the Sermon on the Mount. That's Jesus' platform. And newsflash, Jesus doesn't get elected. He's king, supreme. There's no election for Jesus. He says there's two ways. There's the way of the world, the way of Cain, or there's the way, my way, the way of truth and the way of life. And it looks like this. It looks like loving one another the way that I love you. It looks like if somebody asks for to go a mile with them, you go two. See, there's a lot of people that speak with other tongues and that might have supernatural things operate in their life and still not have a lot of the Sermon on the Mount showing up in their life. And God has brought me into a place of saying first things first. He preached that at the beginning. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, he says that those that believe, these will be the signs that follow them. They'll speak with new tongues. We'll heal the sick, all these things. But at the very beginning, he preached the Sermon on the Mount. I say we put first things first. People are hungry for supernatural living, but they want it the way that they want it. They don't want it the way that Jesus has laid it out. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that even if you prophesy and you speak in the tongues of men and you speak in tongues of men and angels, you prophesy, you know, all secrets and all mysteries. You're able to say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it obeys you. But you have not love, you're what? Nothing. Speaking tongues without love, you're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You prophesy without love, you're just full of hot air. I love that we have the prophetic ministers. I love that people are coming to get a word. But my word for you tonight, if you're on the prophetic team, is I'm glad that you're prophesying. But my question is, are you loving the person first? Because love will constrain you from saying certain things. You want to know how to keep flesh out of prophecy? Love the person first. You want to know how to keep spiritual manipulation out of leading somebody in healing? Love them first. You want to learn how to actually cater to the person's need, not try to get a notch in your spiritual belt? Love them first. Some people are more concerned with collecting testimonies than they are with seeing souls saved. We've got to have first things first. Supernatural living comes from this particular place. And I taught on this a little bit last year, but I want to tell you this, that supernatural living comes whenever we align ourselves to God's truth. And remaining in alignment to God's truth is where authority and power come from. For us to move into this place of supernaturally experiencing the power of God in our lives and having access to the resources of heaven, that doesn't come in the way that we want it to come. It comes in the way that God has revealed for it to come. I love it that at the day of Pentecost, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, then tongues of fire rested on everybody's head, that the immediate thing after that talks to us, about the guardrails that the church put in place to be able to now contain the flame. Do you know that flame and fire is good as long as it's in the fireplace? If you take a match and throw it in the middle of your shag carpet in the living room, you're going to have problems, aren't you? Do you know that God gave this holy fire that has the power to burn up any darkness it comes into context with? But do you know that he gave you guardrails that it's supposed to be contained in? You know what those guardrails are? apostles' teaching is one. So they devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. There wasn't just fire and then a bunch of rogue agents, a bunch of special forces teams for the kingdom of God that don't submit to any authority, never can be corrected, know everything because they have all these visions in their quiet time. I got news for you. The Bible says there's many spirits in the world, and to test them because not all of them come from God. The only way you can have the things that you're seeing and hearing tested is if you're in life-giving community. Paul said in Corinthians that if some people prophesy, let one or two speak and other two sit by to judge. That's why we prophesy in teams, because it's biblical, it's scriptural. You know what Paul says, the test of prophecy, if it's legit, it has to have three things. It has to edify you, which means builds you up, makes you feel better. Edification, exhortation, and confirmation. Exhortation is an encouragement. Sometimes it's an encouragement to change a behavior, but it's still in love. Sometimes it's just an encouragement, period. Keep going. And the last thing is confirmation. It should confirm with you something that God's already been dealing with you about. Because God's not going to tell somebody else something that he isn't already telling you. He's not going to do that. You might not see it at first. You might have to wrestle with it. But God, if it's of God, it will be confirmed. I got news for you. Don't receive a prophecy that doesn't meet one of those three criteria. Because it's not God. I don't care if they think the Holy Spirit told them or not. If you leave that individual feeling afraid, don't receive it. Fear is not of the Lord. Simple. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You should leave an encounter. If it's a legit supernatural experience, you should leave that encounter feeling powerful, loved, and that you have a sound mind. Not racing thoughts and anxieties. That's not God. Simple. Do you see how much of this takes care of itself if we just make love the primary thing? The fire came, yes, but God said, put it in these guardrails now. Keep this fire, steward it well, because the thing about it is that this fire is supposed to grow and it's supposed to spread. And the way that this fire is supposed to grow and it's supposed to spread is supposed to be in a way that it's a beacon. And a beacon has to have constraint. A beacon has to have the ability to be contained. I have a hard time with people that are wrestling with whenever they start to see systems and processes in a church. And they say things like, oh, well, you know, the church is just becoming so corporate these days. There's all these regulations and these rules and all these classes. And what we really just need is the Spirit of God to flow again, just to flow again, the Spirit of God. Here's my question. Are you thankful that you have a cardiovascular system? Are you thankful that you have a nervous system? Are you thankful that you have a pneumatic system, that your airways and your lungs and your windpipe and all that stuff? How many of you know the system's no good unless the Spirit's in it? If I take your spirit out of you, your system doesn't work. But I think if we're going to build a family, and the family's called the church, and the church is called the body of Christ, it should probably have some systems. It should probably have some processes. It should probably have some checks and balances. It probably shouldn't just be a lot of wind, chaotic, and blowing around. No, matter of fact, I remember that the devil's the prince of the power of the air. And he causes confusion and division and devices and divisions amongst us. God's order and peace. That's whenever you step over the line, I sit down with you in love and I say, hey, look, I know that you gave that word, but your delivery was off. You were mean. You didn't mean to be, but you were. How you handle that interaction with me is going to tell me a lot about whether or not you're yielding yourself to the Spirit of God or spirit of flesh. Systems and processes. As soon as these things start to come into ministry, all right, the people that think that they're holier than everybody and they've got a corner on God that nobody else has, they want to bolt. They want to go to the church down the street where the signs and wonders are happening. How about a ministry for 30 years that's never had a church split? How's that for a sign and a wonder? How about a sign and a wonder for a senior pastor to walk out faithfulness and integrity and loyalty to his wife and his family in front of a congregation for 30 years? That's pretty supernatural to me. But people will jump ship and they'll hook up to things and all kinds of places just because there's flashy stuff going on. Warning, church, there's people that will do things in the name of God that don't know God. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And he took it a step further, you workers of lawlessness. But because to have access to the name without the person is lawlessness. The name of Jesus will get stuff done for you. It will. People hijack his name all the time. They manipulate other people in the name. They can actually hijack power through his name. But what we've got to be after as a ministry, a supernatural ministry, is fruit. Jesus didn't say that every tree that doesn't bear gifts will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. He said every tree that doesn't bear fruit. Newsflash, if you're bearing fruit, you'll have something to give as a gift. I'll say it to you one more time. If you're bearing fruit, you'll have something to give as a gift. Why? Because you'll actually be producing something. This is good preaching. I'm spitting. You come down here and stand and I spit on you, you get healed. Come down here. We'll knock the arrogance. We'll knock the suspicion. We'll knock whatever lie the enemy's been feeding. We'll knock it right off of you. Why am I telling you this? Because a bunch of people in here need to be corrected? No. You're the good ones. You're here. I'm telling you this to train and equip you for the work of ministry because this is a real conversation. Raise your hand if you've had a conversation similar to like this with somebody. Be honest. Look at all these hands. I'm hearing God. I know I am. How do you help people navigate and help them stay connected to life-giving community? Look, I'm not telling you need to keep them here. If they really want to go, they can go. But if you're still connected to them and they're off being these rogue agents, it's dangerous. Help them get connected to a body. Community isn't... Here's the thing about it. I know that we get really big for our britches sometimes. Okay? Like mine. Mine are starting to get tight. I'm getting a little big for my britches. But the thing I want to tell you is that we can get big for our britches and we think that we arrive at this place in God when we get to decide the way Christianity is supposed to be. Did you spill blood for this thing? Did you get nailed to a cross for this thing? Did you lay aside riches and glory and honor and power and take on the form of a servant and live a life of humility and subject yourself to the scorn of the cross and go into the very depth of hell to set captives free? You didn't do that, did you? Lord Jesus did. He says what Christianity is supposed to be. And he's confirmed it by the Spirit, his living word in our hearts, that will always be in alignment with this written word. Always. God will never do anything that violates or contradicts his word. Ever. He never will do it. If something in your life or a direction somebody wants you to go is contradictory to the living word on the inside of you and to this written word right here, do not go with that individual. You have every right by the scripture to say, I don't think I'm going the direction that you're going. I'm staying connected to him, to the vine. But I love how people say that. Well, I'm just following the Lord in this particular thing. The Lord isn't into out-of-body experiences. The primary way that he moves in this earth today is through his body. What do you mean you're following the Lord, but you're not connected to a group of believers? What are you doing? You think you've got this interpretation of Jesus that trumps 2,000 years of church history? You think you get to make up what Christianity is supposed to be? The fire came. How many of you are thankful for the fire of God? But he said, okay, now this fire, I'm going to teach you how to steward it in community that's devoted to the teaching of the apostles, that's going to break this bread and fellowship and share life together, share the body of the Lord together, and you're going to learn how to pray for and with each other. That's where I want my fire to be. We can be a lot of individual little matchsticks all around the world, or we could all come together and we could be such a sight and such a flame that the whole world notices. Do you know there was such unity in the original disciples that any time that they would go into a city and they would start wreaking havoc, they would say, these are the 12 that have turned the world upside down. Man, what could we do with 1,500? What could we do with 500 tonight? What could we do if we said, you know what? The truest pursuit of the supernatural is staying linked to my brother or my sister. The truest pursuit, if I really want to see signs and wonders, what I love about the book of Acts is that it said that as they devoted themselves to these four things, apostles, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, it says that many, everybody say many, signs and wonders were being done in their midst, and daily the church was being added to those that were being saved. There's a lot of people that are praying for fire. That's great. I believe we need fire. The only problem with that prayer is the fire's already come. You're praying for something that's already here. A lot of people praying for revival. Revival has started. Train has left the station. Do you want to be involved? Devote yourself to the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, prayers. Get into community. Live life together. Community isn't Victory Life Church's idea. Community isn't First Baptist's idea. Community is Christ's idea. Amen. Living in a life-giving body is Christ's idea, right? Church order and government is Christ's idea. Your body having a system, a digestive system, is God's idea. Okay? We need a digestive system in the church too, to remove all the junk just as well. Same way that you have a digestive system in you that gets all the junk out of you, we got to have digestive systems in the church that remove junk as well. That's called loving accountability. That's called nobody gets to be a free agent. That's called submitting to authority. That's called, yeah, you can start any group that you want, any kind of life group, but you're going to have a coach. You're going to have somebody walking you through this journey, someone you can talk to. You know what? That coach is going to have a hub leader that they talk to say how things are going. And that hub leader is going to talk to me. Hallelujah. Actually, Gabe, in Jesus' name. All right? Why is that? Because we want to control and oppress. No. It's called a system. The issue is that what many people have seen, and I'm against this too, I'm on your side if you think this way, is that once you start to see systems happening and no more mention of the Spirit of God, that is also very dangerous. Because as I told you before, the only reason any of the systems in your body works is because there's breath of God on the inside of you. I've got news for you. The leadership in this house is devoted to keep the breath of God in what we're doing. Always. Always. You don't see all the things that go on behind the scenes. You don't see the things that people work out and they wrestle and they process and they go through. And my encouragement to you is this, is that we are living in a very volatile hour. Have you seen how volatile the culture has become? Do you know that the enemy would love nothing better than to begin to start sifting us like wheat? All right. And the Song of Songs or Songs of Solomon, however, whichever translation of the Bible you have, you know, the book of the Bible, you have to be a grown-up to read that one. It's PG-13, that book of the Bible. Some of you have the same sense of humor I do. Rest of you need to get delivered. Amen. So the thing about it and understanding is that what we have to be about in this hour is understanding Songs of Solomon says this. It says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little offenses that spoil the vine of the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. It's the suspicion in your heart towards that leader because of that one thing that he said that time that he presented, and he didn't line up with what your preference was. Well, he said that particular thing. Did you ever talk to him about it? Well, no. Why? Well, because you're immature. But other than that, why didn't you ask? See, family seeks to understand. See, that's the beautiful thing about family. If you've got something that you're struggling with, if I got something I'm struggling with my wife, I sit down and we talk about it. We seek to understand. You got to know that you're part of a body here in which, yeah, we're going to go after the supernatural, but we're also going to have systems in place to be able to steward the move that God's doing well, moving well. You know, it's great whenever all the fruit starts being produced, but if you don't have an assembly line process to get that fruit packaged and shipped, it's going to spoil. What many people see in place right now and working on infrastructure and working on these systems and these things is for this one purpose, so that we can export a bountiful harvest to the world. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all for. So when you're having conversations with people, when you're talking and people say, well, you know, why is that? What's it about? You should be able to have something to say. You should be able to help people start navigating and understanding and seeing. And understanding that a lot of the things that you see taking place and a lot of changes and things that are going on is not anything devoid of the Spirit of God. It's not anything devoid of the Spirit of God. And what I want us to see is that there's a model for supernatural living that Christ has given to us. And it's this model of putting the first things first. I've told you before that I believe that there'll be buses of people here with people lined up all around the building to be able to get in here because they know if you get in that church, you'll get healed. If you get in that church, your marriage will be restored. If you go to some of our inner healing and deliverance groups that can really take you, man, you'll get this demonic stuff off of your life. There's people that are skilled. There's people that are trained that can equip you. But here's the thing about it. That sounds to me a lot like many signs and wonders being done in our midst. And that sounds a lot like people being added to the church daily that are being saved. But if that's going to happen, we've got to take our fire and we've got to make sure that it's in the fireplace. And we've got to make sure that the apostles' doctrine is the wood that's being put on it. And fellowship is the, what's this thing called? What's it called? Bellow. I don't know. I've never used one of these. I've just seen it in my mind. This thing called. That's is it bellow? Is that what it is? That's the bellow. The fellowship is the bellow. See, you need people in your life group that are bellowing you. And you also need some people with a wet blanket. Whenever you start to get outside of the thing, they put a blanket on you. Hey, slow down right there. And you need to love each other and trust each other enough that when somebody tells you, hey, you're getting a little weird. Like, I know you're really going after this, but look at you. You're getting all anxious and worked up. And all of a sudden now you're John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness and you've got secret knowledge that nobody else knows. And you got that Pastor Zach, you know, blood moon's coming, blood moon. And all these kinds of things. I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, calm down just a little bit here and listen to me. Listen to me. You know, whatever it might be over here or over there, or, you know, well, I've got this knowledge and the church needs to wake up and realize this and this. Listen, shh, calm down just a little bit. All right. When's the last time you were around people? Have you showered recently? Have you been sleeping? How can I sleep when all this revelation is just downloaded in my heart and having open visions? How am I supposed to sleep? How am I supposed to do that? Well, the Bible says in Psalms that he gives to his beloved sleep. Don't keep you up all night tweaking on the Holy Spirit. Some point in time, you got to sleep. God wake anybody up else up late at night to pray? Yeah, I get up late at night to pray, but I go back to bed after. I get some rest because I got a job to do the next day called devoting myself to the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and equipping the saints for the work of ministry. I want to see signs and wonders as bad as everybody else does. But here's the thing about it. I want to see it sustainable. There's all these revivals that have started, guys. There's stuff that's happened in, you name the place. You know, I'm not even going to name the places. You know the places. There's been revival. What are those ministries doing now? When's the last time you heard about them? What are they doing? Where are they going? See, there's this awesome thing happening in the body of Christ right now because there are some ministries that have caught on to building both of these banks. And I can tell you, they're blowing and going for the kingdom of God, and you and I get to be a part of such a ministry. Such a ministry. It's a profound honor. It's a profound privilege. We need the as much, here's the thing. If you know me, you know this is really going to pain me to tell you this. But we need the organizational structure that God has devised for us to incorporate. Let me tell you, why am I talking to you about all these things? I'm talking to you about all these things because I've walked through all these things. I told you I'm a card-carrying charismatic. You don't think I've ever had to struggle with any of that? You don't think I've ever had the temptation to think we do three songs and what if Jesus wants to do a fourth song? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit? No, because you know what I know? If we were supposed to do a fourth song, whoever's leading the service, we're going to do a fourth song. Sometimes you're not supposed to do a fourth song. Sometimes you're not supposed to do but one song. And everybody needs to sit down and just be totally quiet. Sometimes we don't need to hear a word. Sometimes it just needs to be the silence of God over the house. But I also have news for you this way, is that there's a strategy. You know, being strategic is not the enemy. Being sneaky is the enemy. Being strategic is kingdom. Scripture says you got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Scripture says that. I know, I don't like snakes either, but that's what the scripture says. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Do you know there's a strategy to building a Sunday morning service where people that maybe have never experienced church are able to come in and get saved? And you know that there's strategy now in being able to take a people that want to go deeper. Are you guys okay? And getting them connected to things like a midweek service. And people that want to go even deeper, getting them into life group. And people that want to go even deeper, we get them to dwelling place service. Do you know that that's called love? That's called not scaring people off before they have an opportunity to find out how good God is. Do you know the reason you're not scared off anymore? It's because you know God's good. Do you know everybody that shows up on Sunday doesn't know God's good yet? Shame on us. Shame on us if we become offended because it doesn't happen the way we think it should. Do you see the progression? I help so many people. I sat down with somebody one time, and they're really struggling with this. They said, you know, midweek, this spontaneous worship will happen, and, you know, Pastor Zach will come up and do whatever. And on Sunday, I feel like we've got this order and this structure. You're absolutely right, we do. And do you know why? It's because we love people. Yeah. And it's because we desperately want people to be able to connect with Jesus at any cost. And when they can connect with Jesus, man, they're in trouble now. Because there's more. There's more. There's so much more. Do you know the other thing, too, is that whoever's on the stage isn't the one solely designated by God to do all the ministry work. You know, Pastor Dwayne's not the only one tasked to be the one to show them the Word, make sure they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, make sure they understand supernatural healing, make sure they know about Word of knowledge, make sure they speak in tongues. That's what you guys are for. Well, people need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I absolutely agree. Who are you laying hands on? Well, we should see more of the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a Sunday service. Absolutely. When are you going to give a tongue so it can be interpreted? Pastor Dwayne taught not too long ago. I'm picking my nose. I'm getting really laid back up here. I got to quit. Really laid back. You guys make me feel so comfortable and loved. And let's just give each other a hug really quick. Just go like this. Just hug each other. Love you guys. That's good. All right, let go. Now, we should see more of this manifesting. I agree. Thank God I'm not the only one with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we should really see people healed and touched and delivered. The man of God should come down and lay hands on everybody. You don't want me to do that. Sometimes I got bad breath. Your breath might be better than mine someday. You need to talk to that person, not me. That's a joke, but it's true too. Is this making sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to quote somebody that's not a Christian, but I won't tell you who it is. Be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change that you want to see in the world. You know, I've had people come up to me frustrated. The anointing in worship is just so real and so tangible. And sometimes I look around and there's people that they're not even worshiping. My question is, what are you doing looking around? Why aren't you worshiping? That used to bother me when I looked around too. That's why I moved to the front row. So I closed my eyes. Everybody's worshiping just like me. And who says that everybody's got to worship the way that you think they should? Oh, you're in all kinds of pride and arrogance now if you're judging people's worship. Too expressive or too stale? You're going to move Jesus off the throne for a little bit and say what that's supposed to look like too? How about you just mind to yourself? How about you do what Jesus said and you just take care of that log that's in your eye instead of looking at the speck at theirs? It makes you uncomfortable because that person doesn't raise their hands. It makes you uncomfortable because this person does this. Well, I got news for you. Look at Jesus and not them. It won't bother you anymore, will it? And we talk about supernatural living, but we judge the way one another worships. How's that supernatural? Okay. Many other things I want to tell you, but you can't bear to hear them now. Trust me. So we're going to cut it. I'll come back another time and tell you some more. Amen?
Amen.
All right, anybody get anything from God? All right. If the teams would come, teams come on down. Do we have teams? Everybody quit after. God, this is going to be hard to tell, Pastor. Everybody, I don't know what happened. I told the truth and everybody quit. Why don't you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Raise your hand if you got, nobody looking around but me, raise your hand if you got your toe stepped on tonight. Raise your hand. It's okay. I'm looking at you, but I have my glasses on. I can't see you. Trust me. I took them off for this reason. If you got your toe stepped on tonight, raise your hand. Now put your hand on your heart. And say this, God, do a supernatural work in me. I want to bear fruit, not just show off gifts. Do a deep work in me. Jesus, lead me, guide me. I want to represent you well. Amen. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for these awesome people here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving and touching every heart. Thank you, Father, that you grow us in supernatural living. And that we learn, Father, to devote ourselves to the things that you will for us to be devoted to. Never void of your fire. Never replacing it with a substitute. But God, understanding with the wisdom that you've given us how you will for us to excel in the things of the supernatural. May our relationships be trademark of the supernatural in our lives. May the unity, honor, and trust that we have in this house be trademark of the Spirit of God in our lives. And Father, I pray that in all things, honor and glory be given to the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You guys are officially dismissed. Make sure that you catch your kids. They're a blessing, but they're your blessing, so take them home. And we'll see you guys on Sunday.